Very gentle.
Somalia became the place, an ideal location, a basic, unintelligent citizenship, citizenry. So that you had basic guerrillas, and I don't mean apes, I mean guerrilla as in warfare, type of mentality, warlords, tribal encounters, etc. Now keep in mind that just to the west of Somalia is Ethiopia. Remember back to the writings. I have to remind you that you've got all of this if you have the journals. If you skip them, then I can't help you and I won't linger. But there have been, for years now, clandestine kidnapping raids from Israel into Ethiopia to get Jews. Aha! What do you mean, to get Jews? Just what I said, to get black Jews. Ah, but I thought you said that the Israelis want a white supreme race, right? So you have one major, major confrontation of truth and validity right here. Not only did they go, and I want to tell you that the Mossad and the Israeli clandestine forces are the best on the globe. They've trained all the rest of you. So they will bring a transport plane into Ethiopia in the night, kidnap the people, haul them out into an environment where they don't want to be, cannot exist. Very destructive to those people. And they call it liberating them back to the homeland. They get back there, they don't fit, they're used as slaves. They just call it something else. At any rate, time goes by, and Russia, keeping an eye on the Middle East, sets up massive surveillance units and intelligence units and bases in Somalia. Then as time goes by, and you think you don't have a joint venture going, as time goes by, the Soviets move into Ethiopia, and the U.S. moves into Somalia. And you build it up a little bit more. Only you were even more dastardly. You not only bastardized the people and the government, when you left, you destroyed the government, then you left them. And look what you have done. So if anybody is going to help the Somalians, it might as well be the United States, that deliberately, through Kissinger and associates advisory teams, destroyed them. They are as responsible for every starving baby in that place, which makes your United States of America government just as responsible, which, as representative of you, makes you responsible because you've allowed it to be. You prefer to remain in total ignorance and believe that fixed media, and you've wiped out a nation. You've killed a nation. I need my cartoonist, really, because I have the one I want for the paper and have not seen it. Your elite forces, your military, are going over to Somalia to point their guns at these warlords to get rice through to the starving. Next picture, America. And you have your elite forces with their guns aimed at you. protecting the IRS while they take the rest from you starving ones. And it's hidden under the guise of United Nations welfare. So let's look at the location of Somalia. Let's move up the coastline. And you come to a gulf, which is the gulf opening an entry into the Red Sea. Now let's move on up a little bit north. And where do you go? Right into the slap dab middle of Saudi Arabia. Go to the west and you come to Israel. Go to the northeast and you come to where? First of all, you'll hit Bahrain, which is Bush's little monarchy that his son runs, because it is located to part of the bargain of Saudi Arabia for the light, sweet crude that will set the standard for the world. The largest pool of sweet crude on your globe will come out through the Bush plan. In that same area is a mountain that is literally filled. I mean, it is a mountain of gold. Obviously, as you move on up, you come to Iraq. Therefore, why do you think it's going to take 45,000 troops in Somalia to control a few warlords? Even though they have guns, how much money do you think they get for ammunition? They are children in every way. From child, literally, to children in a mature body. You have set the stage for this for years. And now comes the payoff. Well, I want to tell you something about the North African Rift. And a little bit about Robbins. I didn't say Robbins that make spring. I'm talking about Robbins that make valleys in the crust of your earth, where fissures have split apart. And I want to talk a little bit about Armageddon, because it is prophesied that there will be at Armageddon a split between the Dead Sea and the Red Sea, and that runs across that rift through that now established Robin, of which Sinai is in the center. And you've got your stage set. And you will have taken away your prime troops that could do something for you at home. And you've moved them again across the world. Now let's leave that there and come back to free radicals and oxidation. It doesn't seem to have any kind of association, but let me assure you that it does for your remaining ones. I would like Robbins to pay particular attention to me. I want him. Well, you were accounted for already. I just, you already know most of what I'm telling you, or you wouldn't have done what you have done thus far. But I want you to hear this, and then this will have to be researched. But in our growing fields, we're going to have to give some thought, yes, to greenhouses, etc. I want Rick to hear me, because Rick does most of the research on these things. I want you to go to the Wisconsin area, to the Marathon County, and I want you to look into the growing of ginseng. The best ginseng out of the Orient is grown in Wisconsin. And you need it. You're going to need it. It can be added to this kombucha or mugu or mogu, whatever we're calling it these days. That is the oldest elixir in the world. Ginseng is a root that brings a very good, well-balanced feeling of well-being and vitality. And it's a good product. It's a good crop, if you will, that will allow you to help pay your way. Now, I want to talk about something that may or may not mean anything to you. If I say Triticum sativum, does that mean anything to anybody that hasn't just recently talked with my scribe? If I say Triticum sperta, does that mean anything? So, all right. Sativum is wheat. Spelta is dubbed spelt. It is also a form that will give you the feeling that you've got wheat. It is the oldest original grain known to man. It was the grain that was utilized as far back as Daniel's time and Nebuchadnezzar. There are many qualities to this product besides just being a nice thing to grow instead of wheat. It is not a hybrid, therefore you will not get the production which tells you why they changed to wheat. It bears more quality nutrients, including one they've now denied you as a supplement, and that is tryptophan, along with many other qualities of the product itself. It is the best absorber and remover of free radicals from the body of any known substance. It comes surrounded in a very hard husk, more durable, more protective than the wheat husk. But it is almost impenetrable by even radiation. So it has to be removed to be palatable. It will grow in almost any soil, almost anywhere. It is not hybrid, so you can reuse your seeds. There are resources where you can get this product, because to the food industry, to the holistic industry, and the whole life, whole food industry, you can find this product. It's very sweet. It has a much better flavor, for instance, than does wheat, if you're just going to cook it into porridge. It is one of the most healing foods that you can put into your body when the body is sick. There's hardly enough good to say about it. It is almost a perfect food. So you should turn to a great deal of attention to the growing of that. Now, as we talk about projects, it may become more reasonable that I would have said you need a grist mill in the area. Obviously, everybody's not going to be able to just go out and grow their little spelt fields, and you're going to need to have reapers and etc. But you can utilize what's already available. But when you quandary, what in the world shall we raise? That should be your major crop. Now, Rod, you can go play.
We raised about a half acre.
Yes, I know. That's why I figured that you know about it. But I don't think you know enough about it. And I wanted ones in here to begin to... A lot of you are toying with these little automatic bread machines and things. Go get you some spelt flour and try it. You're going to really enjoy it. It's very, very good. There's something else that it has, a quality that is outstanding. It doesn't just absorb these free radicals that are carcinoma-causing substances, but it has quite a nice quantity of what is called B17, which is probably unknown to most of you. But it is a anti-carcinogenic substance. So let's begin to make a habit of utilizing these things that are available. We don't just need a remnant through. We need a remnant in some form of wholeness. Most of you have been damaged as much as anything from your medical care. And yet in this society, for instance, where you cannot get folic acid in the right amount to give you a whole body, they won't let you get it. You have to go to get a prescription for it, and they're not going to let you have it. So the more you make of these things, and the moment you start calling them a cure, they will remove it. They should remove it, because it's a lie. You're not curing anything. You are merely producing the substance where the body can rebuild itself. Now, don't think that you're going to grow kidneys if you've had them removed. That's another thing the doctors have done for you. They make sure that they remove it completely away. And to grow another one, your mind is not qualified yet into its knowingness enough to go and grow you some more. You could do that, but you won't. I think probably as much as anything, you're kind of waiting for the old ticker and the old body to wear out enough where you can cut out of here. It's sort of like... if you have a job in Tehachapi and you run off, that's just copping out. You're running off to what, from what? So always go within and see why you do whatever it is you do. I'm going to ask EJ now to read today's, and then maybe we'll have a little bit more to talk about.
Do you wish the whole thing?
Why not, Oberly?
Sunday, December the 6th. Parents by Kim Coons. If you are a parent with children too rare, and you wish them true happiness, you want them to learn all the things that they should and someday to be a success, then there is a way that these things can be done without all the tension and stress. Remember these four simple keys, if you will, and you will be happy to find it will be a pleasure for them and for you, for this way is pleasant and kind. You first must instruct them, and then you must guide, encourage, and praise right behind. Now when you instruct, make it simple and clear, and make sure that they understand. Then leave them alone and let them, and allow them to try before stepping in with a hand. Some need to ponder things over a bit. No two are alike in the land. When you need to guide them and show them the way, example will play a big part. If you show the way by the things that you do, it gives them a good running start. When they see you practice the things that you preach, it somehow impresses their heart. Encouragement builds up desire to try. Without it, the task can't be done. For if he believes in his heart he can win, the battle is already won. For thoughts become things if desire is strong. He'll win any prize neath the sun. Now praise is a must, for it helps one to build a healthy self-worth and esteem. Unless he believes he deserves the reward, he'll lose out on anyone's team. But if he is praised for the effort he makes, with confidence, he'll chase his dream. Do you think it different at any age? Do you think it is different from me to you, from you to me? There is a point to remember, however, as you turn that other cheek over and over again, that sometimes the cheek that needs to be turned is the one on the rear, so that the child must grow. And you might try a foot to the rear from time to time, lest he only live your life expression and not that of his own. There is one other thing to understand, that is, if you damage another deliberately, forgiveness by God is very different from forgiveness from the ones actually damaged. Furthermore, if you challenge truth and ones who bring that truth and speak for hosts and God, the forgiveness obtained from God does not allow you assumed re-entry into the circle of the ones in human form offended and denounced. You can do that which you like, but the assumption, for instance, that you can blast and pain my people and return into a fold of human circle just because you believe in Hatan and feel forgiveness, you must realize clearly that your station is separate, and that which you take up with me, you take up with me, not through a speaker. For your presence and great speeches to me through a speaker indicates your intent to have the speaker assaulted, good or bad, for I am not my speaker or writer. If you only function through a speaker, then you have no notion of who I am or what you are about. Let us example. Here is a bullet to the heart, and since it be written in pure hatred and ignorance beyond challenge, I shall share it. What this one does with me is one thing, but tell me why my people should open arms and welcome in ones after such attack. Indeed, there are local ones who continue to come within the circle, first to touch visitors and claim their allegiance, and then expect the people in point to deliver audience, because it is assumed the speaker must accept whatever, because of my presence. Well, I am everywhere, and the speaker is not me. I repeat, an insult, however, sent through my speaker is actually an insult directed at my speaker, and or ones of hers, his important attachments. For if there is believing, one goes directly to source, i.e. me. So ones act in perception of correctness and chop their bridges and burn them to the ground. Then, oops, I guess I erred. But God forgives, so automatically I am venerated. No, you are not. For God expects the blunders and utilizes them as lessons. Just as this immediate writing in point. I told you that when you play games, it is dangerous, just as with astrology and fortune telling of any kind. Numbers used in any manner, save the basic foundation of mathematics, is going to get you into trouble the same as is any other thing, of which you know only a tiny smattering of a thing is. This following came from CE in Reno, Nevada, and I hope that someone will see that she gets this response. First, print the letter. The Phoenix Liberator, November the 25th, 1992, gentlemen. And she spelled Yorgos down one side and then put the numbers G42, Y150, E30, O90, R108, G42, O90, S114. It adds up to 666. On November the 17th, Liberator, as a quote, "I have one last thing at this moment to say to Commander Greitz." Actually, she's quoting Hatton in the Liberator. "I am exactly who I say I am. I come with the Son, who is Christ in Sananda."
One actually, she is quoting Hatton. It may have slipped.
Thank you. I come with the Son who is Christ at Sananda, one with God, and I am the Father of that Son. Come with my people, be reclaimed along with my creations. You, Son, had better be very, very sure of what you do, for you are not given all to see and know, and conclusions jumped to in anger and perceived resignation just might be incorrect. End of quote. Then she says, "Cancel my subscription and return the unused balance to CE." So be it. However, it might be better to note the rest of the rules and the story. You assume you have done a very, very clever coup. You have done nothing but prove ignorance. You have taken a name out of context and out of language in use for the very game at hand. My name in your language and in use is George. Yorgos is a name used in Greece and written in the Greek alphabet, wherein the sound is best described in your English as Yorgos. You have no way to count with your numbers in the Greek alphabet, for it differs as much as Chinese script or Arabic. So, by your own numbers above, G42, E30, O90, R108, G42, E30, adds up to 342. 3 plus 4 is 7, plus 2 equals 9. One of the signs of God. Now, who is injured from such a game? Me, my people, or CE? I am exactly who I say I am. Who might be CE? You ones had best go back and read carefully, for what I said about this for the egg on face is not my egg nor my face. There are so many versions of this game above that you had best be most careful, because if you don't know them all and make a slip in the knowing, you are going to have a whopper of an egg sandwich. Further, if all you use for discernment is the game, you shall be caught in the trap of the game. Go in search of truth in each perceived instance. How about a little freedom and truth lesson? From John 8:25-32. Quoting, "Tell us who you are," they demanded. He replied, "I am the one I have always claimed to be. I could condemn you for much and teach you much, but I won't, for I say only that I am told, I say only what I am told to by the one who sent me, and he is truth." But they still didn't understand that he was talking to them about God. So Jesus, Isu Sananda, said, "When you have killed the Messiah," Messiah only means messenger, students, "then you will realize that I am he, and that I have not been telling you my own ideas, but have spoken what the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do those things that are pleasing to him." Then many of the Jewish, lazy translation, should be the Pharisees, leaders who heard him say these things began believing him to be the Messiah. Jesus said to them, "You are truly my disciples," followers of the truth brought forth, not the man, "and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I do not like taking even this brief passage out of context, for words become flippant and without meaning in truth of definition. However, truth must be sought diligently Truth is the correct answer in each set of circumstance, and to base whole cloth on shreds and threads of different weavings will merit you chaos. All is related to all, but to insert poison into any drink poisons the entire of the drink. I suggest that you are simply living the lie if you refuse the whole, for you cannot base judgment upon any save the whole. A writer, quote, in search of truth, asks, is it true that $950,000 in taxpayer money will be spent on the inauguration of the president? Isn't a simple swearing in more appropriate during these difficult times? That Citicorp has been trying to sell its parent holding company to Saudi Arabian interests in an effort to avoid FDIC closure under laws which take effect December 19th. That CBS news anchor, Dan Rather, saw an unaltered version of the so-called Zapruder film of the assassination of John Kennedy within days of the shooting, which clearly shows that the fatal shot was fired by the Secret Service driver of the limousine in which Kennedy was riding. That the New Jersey State Assembly approved Assembly Concurrent Resolution Number 30, thus endorsing a constitutional convention. A convention would allow New World Order groups to tamper with our constitutionally protected rights. That launching a satellite, this is another question, that launching a satellite via space shuttle is harder and far more expensive than launching it from a rocket. Why then does NASA continue to waste taxpayer dollars? A very good set of questions for you, the people, among zillions of others. My mission is to also cause you to look at some of the questions and search out the truth. I have so much information that there is no way to get it to you, for it is now time for confirmations which allow you to understand and see, not count silly numbers upon which to judge that which should never be judged, the man or the being, and allow information upon which valid discernments can be made and good and valid judgments of actions. This same author shares more with you. He writes a very good periodical, but never divulges his name in the paper in point. This is a very good idea, seeing as some will only count the numbers in his name, real or fashioned, and judge him accordingly. So be it. Now from the poetry corner, our next president. Bill Clinton will be president come January 1. No darker day in history has seen a setting sun. This nation failed its greatest test while Satan had some fun. Bill Clinton will be president come January 1. Bill Clinton will do as he's told. Bill Clinton is a whore. When will this nation see the light? Please God, what is in store? The people think they've found their man. They've thought that thought before. Bill Clinton will do as he's told. Bill Clinton is a whore. Bill Clinton is a puppet bought by those who pay the bills. There is no chance that he will change the cause of all our ills. We're headed for our darkest days. That thought give me the chills. Bill Clinton is a puppet bought by those who pay his bills. Bill Clinton has achieved his goal. He'll sit upon the throne. With Hillary close by his side, he'll reap the seeds he's sown. The fact that we elected him, this nation will bemoan. Bill Clinton has achieved his goal. He'll sit upon the throne. Written November the 4th, 1992.
I might interrupt and say that I concur. As you watch what is happening, and they say, well, Bill Clinton is going to appoint so-and-so and so-and-so to such-and-such a position. Bill Clinton isn't doing anything except jogging. You see enough of that, don't you? And then he may make the announcement. He's not doing the choosing. And where he was talking about Paul Volcker, for instance, who is head of the Western directorship of the Bilderbergs, and a member of the Trilateral Commission, and the CFR, and. Very high member of the elite. They're going to not put him in that slot. They're talking today about Benson of Texas. Well, he'll be a good one. He belongs to all those societies too. You can go right down the list of all ones being considered, and every one of them are entrenched in at least two of the major elite organizations, going right back to the Club of Rome and the Elite 300. So you're in it. I mean, you are really in it. What we do about it is the only thing that's going to make a difference. Go on, Oberlin.
Next subject is called FinCEN, which means financial center. I think there's a little more about it here. This may not mean much to you until you read further, and since I have written about these troops, I would think that you would enjoy this confirmation of same. Again, names will be held except as listed by the writer of this article. Quoting, more about FinCEN. On the Radio Free America broadcast of October the 13th, 1992, Mark from Michigan went into elaborate detail about the presence of United Nations troops on American soil, the creation of the MJTF police, which he claimed stands for the Multi-Jurisdictional Task Force, and an organization he called FinCEN. Mark claimed that these three organizations are part of a three-tiered objective. Comment from Hatton. Now my purpose, he is correct. I have found no documented mention of MJTF police. However, my investigation into FinCEN, which Mark claimed is the second element, four military and secret police units inside the continental United States, leads me to a brochure published by the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network in April 1991. The brochure states that Secretary of Treasury Nicholas F. Brady officially established FinCEN by an executive order dated April 25, 1990. This order set forth the FinCEN mission to provide a government-wide multi-source intelligence and analytical network to support law enforcement and regulatory agencies in the detection, investigation, and prosecution of financial crimes. Currently staffed by criminal investigators and or analysts from Customs, IRS, DEA, Secret Service, Postal Inspection Service, FBI, and BATF. For those unaware, Mr. Brady is a Bilderberger and a member of both the Council on Foreign Relations and the Committee on the Constitutional System. These organizations seek to establish a world government being sold to the public as a new world order. This is the first instance I have seen where it was suggested that someone other than the president writes executive orders. But it appears to be true, since no executive order was written by President Bush on the date cited by FinCEN. Hatton has a comment. He says, pay attention. To further complicate matters, a reference to FinCEN appears in remarks made by President Bush at a luncheon for newspaper publishers on January the 25th, 1990, 3 months prior to FinCEN's claimed date of creation. Quote, Treasury's newly created Financial Crimes Enforcement Network will improve financial intelligence. Based on this earlier reference to FinCEN, I searched for an EO, an executive order, issued in 1989. Again, I found nothing. I did find the Intelligence Authorization Act of 1990, passed as Public Law 101-193, on November the 30th, 1989, which authorizes appropriations for intelligence activities to 10 prominent government agencies, including the Department of the Treasury. I also found that FinCEN's 1992 budget for necessary expense exceeds $18 million. The last item I found credited to FinCEN is, quote, trends in money laundering, an 11-page simplistic overview of various means used to launder money. It was published in December 1990. Does Mark possess documents not readily available to the public which give credence to his allegations about FinCEN? Who really established FinCEN and why? What useful function does FinCEN provide for the $18 million per year it receives from Congress? What has been published about fine sin leaves many questions unanswered. My search for truth about fine sin's origins and purpose will continue. But from what fine sin acknowledges in its own brochure, I conclude that fine sin violates my right to privacy as provided for under the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. Tom Valentine, host of Radio Free America, says he has not received the 4.5 inches of documents Mark promised to send him. Valentine also says attempts to reach Mark at the telephone number provided by Mark have not been successful. Has Mark pulled a snow job on information-hungry listeners of Radio Free America? Has he been silenced by someone? It appears that whether or not Mark is correct concerning his specific charges, fine sin is meant to play a role in the New World Order. End of quoting. Included here is a small map, which I have also received. I will tell you in advance, it only... We're returned.
Somalia became the place, an ideal location, a basic, unintelligent citizenship, citizenry. So that you had basic guerrillas, and I don't mean apes, I mean guerrilla as in warfare, type of mentality, warlords, tribal encounters, etc. Now keep in mind that just to the west of Somalia is Ethiopia. Remember back to the writings. I have to remind you that you've got all of this if you have the journals. If you skip them, then I can't help you and I won't linger. But there have been, for years now, clandestine kidnapping raids from Israel into Ethiopia to get Jews. Aha! What do you mean, to get Jews? Just what I said, to get black Jews. Ah, but I thought you said that the Israelis want a white supreme race, right? So you have one major, major confrontation of truth and validity right here. Not only did they go, and I want to tell you that the Mossad and the Israeli clandestine forces are the best on the globe. They've trained all the rest of you. So they will bring a transport plane into Ethiopia in the night, kidnap the people, haul them out into an environment where they don't want to be, cannot exist. Very destructive to those people. And they call it liberating them back to the homeland. They get back there, they don't fit, they're used as slaves. They just call it something else. At any rate, time goes by, and Russia, keeping an eye on the Middle East, sets up massive surveillance units and intelligence units and bases in Somalia. Then as time goes by, and you think you don't have a joint venture going, as time goes by, the Soviets move into Ethiopia, and the U.S. moves into Somalia. And you build it up a little bit more. Only you were even more dastardly. You not only bastardized the people and the government, when you left, you destroyed the government, then you left them. And look what you have done. So if anybody is going to help the Somalians, it might as well be the United States, that deliberately, through Kissinger and associates advisory teams, destroyed them. They are as responsible for every starving baby in that place which makes your United States of America government just as responsible, which, as representative of you, makes you responsible. Because you've allowed it to be. You prefer to remain in total ignorance and believe that fixed media, and you've wiped out a nation. You've killed a nation. I need my cartoonist, really, because I have the one I want for the paper and have not seen it. Your elite forces, your military, now going over to Somalia to point their guns at these warlords to get rice through to the starving. Next picture, America. And you have your elite forces with their guns aimed at you, protecting the IRS while they take the rest from you starving ones. And it's hidden under the guise of United Nations welfare. So let's look at the location of Somalia. Let's move up the coastline. And you come to a gulf, which is the gulf opening an entry into the Red Sea. Now let's move on up a little bit north. And where do you go? Right into the slap dab middle of Saudi Arabia. Go to the west and you come to Israel. Go to the northeast and you come to where? First of all, you will hit Bahrain, which is Bush's little monarchy that his son runs, because it is located to part of the bargain of Saudi Arabia for the light, sweet crude that will set the standard for the world. The largest pool of sweet crude on your globe will come out through the Bush plan. In that same area is a mountain that is literally filled. I mean, it is a mountain of gold. Obviously, as you move on up, you come to Iraq. Therefore, why do you think it's going to take 45,000 troops in Somalia to control a few warlords? Even though they have guns, how much money do you think they get for ammunition? They are children in every way. From child, literally, to children in a mature body. You have set the stage for this for years. And now comes the payoff. Well, I want to tell you something about the North African Rift. And a little bit about Robbins. I didn't say Robbins that make spring. I'm talking about Robbins that make valleys in the crust of your earth, where fissures have split apart. And I want to talk a little bit about Armageddon, because it is prophesied that there will be at Armageddon a split between the Dead Sea and the Red Sea, and that runs across that rift through that now established Robin, of which Sinai is in the center. And you've got your stage set. and you will have taken away your prime troops that could do something for you at home, and you've moved them again across the world. Now let's leave that there and come back to free radicals and oxidation. It doesn't seem to have any kind of association, but let me assure you that it does for your remaining ones. I would like Rod Inns to pay particular attention to me. I want him. Well, you were accounted for already. You already know most of what I'm telling you, or you wouldn't have done what you have done thus far. But I want you to hear this, and then this will have to be researched. But in our growing fields, we're going to have to give some thought, yes, to greenhouses, etc. I want Rick to hear me, because Rick does most of the research on these things. I want you to go to the Wisconsin area, to the Marathon County, and I want you to look into the growing of ginseng. The best ginseng out of the Orient is grown in Wisconsin. And you need it. You're going to need it. It can be added to this kombucha or mugu or mogu, whatever we're calling it these days. That is the oldest elixir in the world. Ginseng is a root that brings a very good, well-balanced feeling of well-being and vitality. And it's a good product. It's a good crop, if you will, that will allow you to help pay your way. Now I want to talk about something that may or may not mean anything to you. If I say Triticum sativum, does that mean anything to anybody that hasn't just recently talked with my scribe? If I say Triticum Spelta, does that mean anything? So, all right. Sativum is wheat. Spelta is dubbed spelt. It is also a form that will give you the feeling that you've got wheat. It is the oldest original grain known to man. It was the grain that was utilized as far back as Daniel's time and Nebuchadnezzar. There are many qualities to this product besides just being a nice thing to grow instead of wheat. It is not a hybrid, therefore you will not get the production which tells you why they changed to wheat. It bears more quality nutrients, including one they've now denied you as a supplement, and that is tryptophan, along with many other qualities of the product itself. It is the best absorber and remover of free radicals from the body of any known substance. It comes surrounded in a very hard husk, more durable, more protective than the wheat husk. But it is almost impenetrable by even radiation. So it has to be removed to be palatable. It will grow in almost any soil, almost anywhere. It is not hybrid, so you can reuse your seeds. There are resources where you can get this product, because to the food industry, to the holistic industry, and the whole life, whole food industry, you can find this product. It's very sweet. It has a much better flavor, for instance, than does wheat, if you're just going to cook it into porridge. It is one of the most healing foods that you can put into your body when the body is sick. There's hardly enough good to say about it. It is almost a perfect food. So you should turn to a great deal of attention to the growing of that. Now, as we talk about projects, it may become more reasonable that I would have said you need a grist mill in the area. Obviously, everybody's not going to be able to just go out and grow their little spelt fields, and you're going to need to have reapers and etc. But you can utilize what's already available. But when you quandary, what in the world shall we raise? That should be your major crop. Now, Rod, you can go play.
We raised about a half acre.
Yes, I know. That's why I figured that you know about it. But I don't think you know enough about it. And I wanted ones in here to begin to lot of you are toying with these little automatic bread machines and things, go get you some spelt flour and try it. You're going to really enjoy it. It's very, very good. There's something else that it has, a quality that is outstanding. It doesn't just absorb these free radicals that are carcinoma-causing substances, but it has quite a nice quantity of what is called B17, which is probably unknown to most of you. But it is a anti-carcinogenic substance. So let's begin to make a habit of utilizing these things that are available. We don't just need a remnant through. We need a remnant in some form of wholeness. Most of you have been damaged as much as anything from your medical care. And yet in this society, for instance, where you cannot get folic acid in the right amount to give you a whole body, they won't let you get it. You have to go to get a prescription for it, and they're not going to let you have it. So the more you make of these things, and the moment you start calling them a cure, they will remove it. They should remove it, because it's a lie. You're not curing anything. You are merely producing the substance where the body can rebuild itself. Now, don't think that you're going to grow kidneys if you've had them removed. That's another thing the doctors have done for you. They make sure that they remove it completely away. And to grow another one, your mind is not qualified yet into its knowingness enough to go and grow you some more. You could do that, but you won't. I think probably as much as anything, you're kind of waiting for the old ticker and the old body to wear out enough where you can cut out of here. It's sort of like, if you have a job in Tehachapi and you run off, that's just copping out. You're running off to what, from what? So always go within and see why you do whatever it is you do. I'm going to ask E.J. now to read today's, and then maybe we'll have a little bit more to talk about.
Do you wish the whole thing?
Why not overly?
Sunday, December the 6th. Parents by Kim Coons. If you are a parent with children too rare and you wish them true happiness, you want them to learn all the things that they should and someday to be a success, then there is a way that these things can be done without all the tension and stress. Remember these four simple keys, if you will, and you will be happy to find it will be a pleasure for them and for you, for this way is pleasant and kind. You first must instruct them, and then you must guide, encourage, and praise right behind. Now when you instruct, make it simple and clear, and make sure that they understand. Then leave them alone and let them, and allow them to try before stepping in with a hand. Some need to ponder things over a bit. No two are alike in the land. When you need to guide them and show them the way, example will play a big part. If you show the way by the things that you do, it gives them a good running start. When they see you practice the things that you preach, it somehow impresses their heart. Encouragement builds up desire to try. Without it, the task can't be done. For if he believes in his heart he can win, the battle is already won. For thoughts become things if desire is strong. He'll win any prize neath the sun. Now praise is a must, for it helps one to build a healthy self-worth and esteem. Unless he believes he deserves the reward, he'll lose out on anyone's team. But if he is praised for the effort he makes, with confidence, he'll chase his dream. Do you think it different at any age? Do you think it is different from me to you, from you to me? There is a point to remember, however, as you turn that other cheek over and over again, that sometimes the cheek that needs to be turned is the one on the rear, so that the child must grow. And you might try a foot to the rear from time to time, lest he only live your life expression and not that of his own. There is one other thing to understand, that is, if you damage another deliberately, forgiveness by God is very different from forgiveness from the ones actually damaged. Furthermore, if you challenge truth and ones who bring that truth and speak for hosts and God, the forgiveness obtained from God does not allow you assumed re-entry into the circle of the ones in human form offended and denounced. You can do that which you like, but the assumption, for instance, that you can blast and pain my people and return into a fold of human circle just because you believe in Hatan and feel forgiveness, you must realize clearly that your station is separate, and that which you take up with me, you take up with me, not through a speaker. For your presence and great speeches to me through a speaker indicates your intent to have the speaker assaulted, good or bad, for I am not my speaker or writer. If you only function through a speaker, then you have no notion of who I am or what you are about. Let us example. Here is a bullet to the heart, and since it be written in pure hatred and ignorance beyond challenge, I shall share it. What this one does with me is one thing, but tell me why my people should open arms and welcome in ones after such attack. Oh, indeed, there are local ones who continue to come within the circle, first to touch visitors and claim their allegiance, and then expect the people in point to deliver audience, because it is assumed the speaker must accept whatever, because of my presence. Well, I am everywhere, and the speaker is not me. I repeat, an insult, however, sent through my speaker is actually an insult directed at my speaker. and or ones of hers, his important attachments. For if there is believing, one goes directly to source, i.e. me. So ones act in perception of correctness and chop their bridges and burn them to the ground. Then, oops, I guess I erred. But God forgives, so automatically I am venerated. No, you are not. For God expects the blunders and utilizes them as lessons. Just as this immediate writing in point. I told you that when you play games, it is dangerous, just as with astrology and fortune-telling of any kind. Numbers used in any manner, save the basic foundation of mathematics, is going to get you into trouble the same as is any other thing, of which you know only a tiny smattering of a thing is. This following came from C.E. in Reno, Nevada, and I hope that someone will see that she gets this response. First, print the letter. The Phoenix Liberator, November the 25th, 1992. Gentlemen, and she spelled Yergos down one side and then put the numbers G42, Y150, E30, O90, R108, G42, O90, S114. It adds up to 666. On November the 17th, Liberator, as a quote, I have one last thing at this moment to say to Commander Greitz. Actually, she's quoting Hatton in the Liberator. I am exactly who I say I am. I come with the Son, who is Christ and Sananda.
One actually, she is quoting Hatton. It may have slipped.
Thank you. I come with the Son who is Christ at Sananda, one with God, and I am the Father of that Son. Come with my people, be reclaimed along with my creations. You, Son, had better be very, very sure of what you do, for you are not given all to see and know, and conclusions jumped to in anger and perceived resignation just might be incorrect. End of quote. Then she says, cancel my subscription and return the unused balance to CE. So be it. However, it might be better to note the rest of the rules and the story. You assume you have done a very, very clever coup. You have done nothing but prove ignorance. You have taken a name out of context and out of language in use for the very game at hand. My name in your language and in use is George. Yergos is a name used in Greece and written in the Greek alphabet, wherein the sound is best described in your English as Yergos. You have no way to count with your numbers in the Greek alphabet, for it differs as much as Chinese script or Arabic. So, by your own numbers above, G42, E30, O90, R108, G42, E30, adds up to 342. 3 plus 4 is 7, plus 2 equals 9, one of the signs of God. Now, who is injured from such a game? Me, my people, or CE? I am exactly who I say I am. Who might be CE? You ones had best go back and read carefully, for what I said about this for the egg on face is not my egg nor my face. There are so many versions of this game above that you had best be most careful, because if you don't know them all and make a slip in the knowing, you are going to have a whopper of an egg sandwich. Further, if all you use for discernment is the game, you shall be caught in the trap of the game. Go in search of truth in each perceived instance. How about a little freedom and truth lesson? From John 8:25-32. Quoting, tell us who you are, they demanded. He replied, I am the one I have always claimed to be. I could condemn you for much and teach you much, but I won't, for I say only that I am told, I say only what I am told to by the one who sent me, and he is truth. But they still didn't understand that he was talking to them about God. So Jesus, Isu Sananda, said, when you have killed the Messiah, Messiah only means messenger, students, then you will realize that I am He, and that I have not been telling you my own ideas, but have spoken what the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do those things that are pleasing to Him. Then many of the Jewish, lazy translation, should be the Pharisees, leaders who heard Him say these things began believing Him to be the Messiah. Jesus said to them, "You are truly my disciples, followers of the truth brought forth, not the man. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I do not like taking even this brief passage out of context, for words become flippant and without meaning in truth of definition. However, truth must be sought diligently. Truth is the correct answer in each set of circumstance, and to base whole cloth on shreds and threads of different weavings will merit you chaos. All is related to all, but to insert poison into any drink poisons the entire of the drink. I suggest that you are simply living the lie if you refuse the whole, for you cannot base judgment upon any save the whole. A writer, quote, in search of truth, asks, "Is it true that $950,000 in taxpayer money will be spent on the inauguration of the president? Isn't a simple swearing in more appropriate during these difficult times? That Citicorp has been trying to sell its parent holding company to Saudi Arabian interests in an effort to avoid FDIC closure under laws which take effect December 19th. That CBS news anchor, Dan Rather, saw an unaltered version of the so-called Zapruder film of the assassination of John Kennedy within days of the shooting, which clearly shows that the fatal shot was fired by the Secret Service driver of the limousine in which Kennedy was riding. That the New Jersey State Assembly approved Assembly Concurrent Resolution Number 30, thus endorsing a constitutional convention. A convention would allow New World Order groups to tamper with our constitutionally protected rights. That launching a satellite, this is another question, that launching a satellite via space shuttle is harder and far more expensive than launching it from a rocket. Why then does NASA continue to waste taxpayer dollars? A very good set of questions for you, the people, among zillions of others. My mission is to also cause you to look at some of the questions and search out the truth. I have so much information that there is no way to get it to you, for it is now time for confirmations which allow you to understand and see, not count silly numbers upon which to judge that which should never be judged, the man or the being, and allow information upon which valid discernments can be made and good and valid judgments of actions. This same author shares more with you. He writes a very good periodical, but never divulges his name in the paper in point. This is a very good idea, seeing as some will only count the numbers in his name, real or fashioned, and judge him accordingly. So be it. Now from the poetry corner, our next president. Bill Clinton will be president come January 1. No darker day in history has seen a setting sun. This nation failed its greatest test while Satan had some fun. Bill Clinton will be president come January 1. Bill Clinton will do as he's told. Bill Clinton is a whore. When will this nation see the light? Please God, what is in store? The people think they've found their man. They've thought that thought before. Bill Clinton will do as he's told. Bill Clinton is a whore. Bill Clinton is a puppet bought by those who pay the bills. There is no chance that he will change the cause of all our ills. We're headed for our darkest days. That thought give me the chills. Bill Clinton is a puppet bought by those who pay his bills. Bill Clinton has achieved his goal. He'll sit upon the throne. With Hillary close by his side, he'll reap the seeds he's sown. The fact that we elected him, this nation will bemoan. Bill Clinton has achieved his goal. He'll sit upon the throne. Written November the 4th, 1992.
I might interrupt and say, that I concur. As you watch what is happening, and they say, well, Bill Clinton is going to appoint so-and-so and so-and-so to such-and-such a position. Bill Clinton isn't doing anything except jogging. You see enough of that, don't you? And then he may make the announcement. He's not doing the choosing. And where he was talking about Paul Volcker, for instance, who is head of the Western directorship of the Bilderbergs, and a member of the Trilateral Commission, and the CFR, and. Very high member of the elite. They're going to not put him in that slot. They're talking today about Benson of Texas. Well, he'll be a good one. He belongs to all those societies, too. You can go right down the list of all ones being considered, and every one of them are entrenched in at least two of the major elite organizations, going right back to the Club of Rome and the Elite 300. So you're in it. I mean, you are really in it. What we do about it is the only thing that's going to make a difference. Go on, Oberlin.
Next subject is called FinCEN, which means Financial Center. I think there's a little more about it here. This may not mean much to you until you read further, and since I have written about these troops, I would think that you would enjoy this confirmation of same. Again, names will be held except as listed by the writer of this article. Quoting, more about FinCEN. On the Radio Free America broadcast of October the 13th, 1992, Mark from Michigan went into elaborate detail about the presence of United Nations troops on American soil, the creation of the MJTF police, which he claimed stands for the Multi-Jurisdictional Task Force, and an organization he called FinCEN. Mark claimed that these three organizations are part of a three-tiered objective. Comment from Hatton. Now my purpose, he is correct. I have found no documented mention of MJTF police. However, my investigation into FinCEN, which Mark claimed is the second element, four military and secret police units inside the continental United States, leads me to a brochure published by the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network in April 1991. The brochure states that Secretary of Treasury Nicholas F. Brady officially established FinCEN by an executive order dated April 25, 1990. This order set forth the FinCEN mission to provide a government-wide multi-source intelligence and analytical network to support law enforcement and regulatory agencies in the detection, investigation, and prosecution of financial crimes. Currently staffed by criminal investigators and or analysts from Customs, IRS, DEA, Secret Service, Postal Inspection Service, FBI, and BATF. For those unaware, Mr. Brady is a Bilderberger and a member of both the Council on Foreign Relations and the Committee on the Constitutional System. These organizations seek to establish a world government being sold to the public as a New World Order. This is the first instance I have seen where it was suggested that someone other than the President writes executive orders. But it appears to be true, since no executive order was written by President Bush on the date cited by FinCEN. Hatton has a comment. He says, pay attention. To further complicate matters, a reference to FinCEN appears in remarks made by President Bush at a luncheon for newspaper publishers on January the 25th, 1990, 3 months prior to FinCEN's claimed date of creation. Quote, Treasury's newly created Financial Crimes Enforcement Network will improve financial intelligence. Based on this earlier reference to FinCEN, I searched for an EO, an executive order, issued in 1989. Again, I found nothing. I did find the Intelligence Authorization Act of 1990, passed as Public Law 101-193, on November the 30th, 1989, which authorizes appropriations for intelligence activities to 10 prominent government agencies, including the Department of the Treasury. I also found that FinCEN's 1992 budget for necessary expense exceeds $18 million. The last item I found credited to FinCEN is, quote, trends in money laundering, an 11-page simplistic overview of various means used to launder money. It was published in December 1990. Does Mark possess documents not readily available to the public which give credence to his allegations about FinCEN? Who really established FinCEN and why? What useful function does FinCEN provide for the $18 million per year it receives from Congress? What has been published about FinCEN leaves many questions unanswered. My search for truth about FinCEN's origins and purpose will continue, but from what FinCEN acknowledges in its own brochure, I conclude that FinCEN violates my right to privacy as provided for under the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. Tom Valentine, host of Radio Free America, says he has not received the 4.5 inches of documents Mark promised to send him. Valentine also says attempts to reach Mark at the telephone number provided by Mark have not been successful. Has Mark pulled a snow job on information-hungry listeners of Radio Free America? Has he been silenced by someone? It appears that whether or not Mark is correct concerning his specific charges, FinCEN is meant to play a role in the New World Order. End of quoting. Included here is a small map, which I have also received. I will tell you in advance, it only